How do you share with those in pain? How do you do it? These four simple words, but it's not simple to put into practice. Time, willingness, courage, and faith. These words are huge. First thing I would do is take time to write out your story. Write that in. Write that in your outline. You need to write in your story. You need to figure out your story, what God has done. I shared with you a story about my firstborn because I had a devotion, a time, a journal, and I went back to that, and I'll never forget it. The details of that story, they play a part in the life of Shelley and I. They play a part in understanding people's needs. I had that detail put in there. Take the time to write out your story, what God's done in your life. You write it out so you have something to say. You don't leave something out. Literally, this word, evangelism, which means to tell a friend, friendship evangelism, as soon as some of you hear that word, you know, it can freak you out. Especially with other people. Things like, they're not going to understand me. They're going to laugh at me. They're going to call me a Jesus freak. If nothing else, you know, they're going to ask me questions about dinosaurs and evolution. And all of a sudden, you know, can, you know, angels fly backwards? All this weird stuff. I'm going to get questions from everywhere. I don't want them to know any more about my relationship with God because the hard stuff's going to come my way. And one of my favorite stories in the Bible, and you guys have heard this one because you know it is. I keep bringing it up. John 9, when the blind gentleman is going through town and everybody had heard about Jesus. And literally there's this moment where he had this encounter. Jesus is doing miracles. Everybody's heard about him. And the people heard that he was healing people. So this blind gentleman comes through the crowd and he hears what's happening. Jesus, he says, Jesus, have mercy on me. And he walks over. What do you want? What do you want? And the guy says, I'm blind. And it's wild at this point because, you should read about Jesus, okay? You should read these stories about Jesus. For those of you who don't understand him, most radical dude that ever lived. Just radical. You could not predict what was going to happen next. You don't know radical people. You don't know radical people until you have met Jesus. You don't. You may not believe that he was a son of God, God in the flesh. And that's where the hang-up may be, but I warn you, he was radical. Anyone with any degree of intelligence, any IQ, knows that there was a man named Jesus that lived on this planet. And our hang-up is typically right at the point where, is he who he said he was? Is he fully God and man? But you at least got to admit, he was a radical. Just different. Never heal people the same way. And this guy was no different. He literally loogies on the ground, okay? And he starts making this mud pie, and then he puts it right on the guy's face, you know? And then says, go wash, which is a nice thing to say after you've spit on someone here. And he's like, go wash this certain river. This is what happens. This is what I want you to do. And he literally puts mud on the guy's eyes. It's such a unique healing. And I'd be cracking up like crazy if I was one of his followers. I literally be like, oh my gosh, you see that? Whoa. You know, that, you know, all I had to do was touch him. But the way he went about it, it'd be a trip. And the blind guy says this, Jesus is what did this. Because people are like, who did this? We know your family. We know who you are. How did this happen? He's like, Jesus, man. I have no idea. And they're asking him, is he a sinner? Is he a son of God? Is he, you know, what's his plan? Where is he headed? What did he tell you? And he goes, I don't know. All I know is once I was what? And now I can. It's my story. So if you're worried about if angels fly backwards or evolution questions coming your way, I don't know. I don't know. All I know is I had this crap in my life. I'm crap free. I'm pushing forward. My family is getting healing. We're moving forward. I was this way and I'm this way. Great story. That is your story. You don't have to have all the right answers. You can tell somebody who asks a question, I don't know. That's a great question, you know? I don't know. That's a great question. I have no clue. I'll get back with you. But questions have been asked about Jesus for 2,000 years. And I guarantee you're not the first person to ask that question. And you're not the first person to say, I don't know. But once I was blind, this is different in my life. And now I can see. Once my life was out of control, then I confessed it. I've been forgiven, and now I'm free. And once I went to church, I thought I was religious, but I never understood what it meant to have a relationship with God. I'm not religious. I'm in relationship. He's my Savior. He's got my back. He's got my family's back, and that's your story. Nobody's going to argue with that. If anything, they're not going to want to hang out with you anymore because of whatever reason they bring to the table. They're mad at the world. But your story cannot be wrong. It is your story. It can't be faked. You don't have to have all the answers. That's okay. Take the time to write your story. Mark 5, Jesus says this, "Now go home to your friends. Tell them what wonderful things the Lord has done for you and how merciful he's been." 1 Peter 3:15 says this, "And if asked about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain." Circle hope, by the way. Circle that word. That's what you've got to explain. Just your hope. Just keep it simple. I've been forgiven. There's a place for me in heaven. That's my hope. And I'm breathing. I'm up. I'm moving. Number two is willingness. Willingness. Be willing to share your story. Acts 20. "My life is worth nothing." Circle worth nothing. "Unless I do the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus of telling others the good news and wonderful kindness of love." Who wrote the book of Acts? Who do we believe wrote the book of Acts? We believe Paul has much to do with it. We also believe Luke has some things in there too. But what we understand here is both these guys are saying the exact same thing. Keep this simple. Keep this gentle. Keep this realistic. Don't stir. Don't add. Don't put more into it. Keep it very simple. Kindness and love and the good news will make this work. Kindness and love. That's the good news. When you study Scripture, you see that there is a very simple plan of salvation that's given. A 3-year-old to a 103-year-old can receive this. What makes things difficult is when the world interferes. The enemy gets in there and he stirs this up and he begins to persuade and he begins to pursue and he gets involved and he invades the truth. And God's word is diluted many times. This verse is loaded. Don't stir from it. Don't change it in any way. The good news, wonderful kindness and love. Jesus has told us this. That's the plan. I'm assigned this work. My life project is this work. This is what it is. And the author's telling us this. Be willing to share it. God's done this. Be willing to share it. Number three is display courage. This part right here, for a lot of my close friends, the ones I hang out with, this part right here is where we're learning together. I got some good friends on the island. And we do great when we're together. But when they're apart and we're not close near each other and they're in their social circles, this is where things become a struggle for them. And I think iron should sharpen iron here. So I don't just do all the talking. I learn from my friends the struggles they have, because sometimes that's the struggle I have. There are certain personalities of guys that I'm turned off completely. And all of a sudden my witness, my evangelism, everything about it shuts down because I'm in this aura of this person's personality, and it's annoying. It's annoying to me. And what that means is I have some issues that God needs to refine. Amen? I literally should be looking at this going, why is that causing this to come up inside of me? What is this? Where's my motive here? Why is this person making me react this way? Big questions. I have to have courage to go into that. Why? Because I care for that person, and I care for my own soul. That courage is necessary. And some of you who are thinkers in here saying, what's the difference between being willing to share your story and the courage to share your story? Under share your story, write this: safe. Okay? There's some people who it's safe to share your story with. Close friends, you know, you might even have to apologize to them, you know, but it's safe, right? You know, they're not going to beat you up. They're probably not going to take off. Here's where the rubber meets the road. The courage section goes with unsafe friends. I'm not sure what's going to happen here. You may even have relatives that fall under this category. You may sit here and go, if I send this letter off, I have no idea what's going to happen, but it could explode in my face. These are people that are going to be a little more caustic. They're going to be a little bit more critical and a little bit more pessimistic, very much hardcore. It's risky. They may quit whatever relationship you have with them. They may quit the club. They may quit the team. They may quit on your family. They may quit on you. They may quit the job. You run a risk when you talk to them. Like an email that I got from someone during this series that asked me to take him off the email list. Kind of writes a nasty letter. Wake up, he says. And if you're listening online, I'm reading this verbatim. Some of the most idiotic, rude, and disgusting people I know, not naming any names, smokers, potheads, thugs, go to your church, and they think they're better than me because they're Christians. If there was a God, why does he allow people to act like that? I'm not a Satan worshiper. Black trench coat. My name is blank. I'm 22 years old. I surf, play baseball, eat pizza, get girls, hang out with friends. I love Lou O'Leary's as much as the next guy. Basically like any other young person. But what I am is a person. Howbeit a young and pessimistic one who has chosen to lead his own life, does not feel any need to complete his happiness by letting Jesus into his heart. It's not the way I wanted to start my week. This series is moving into very difficult places for people's lives, okay? And as a result, when that letter came in, first thing I thought was, this guy needs some courage for someone to come alongside him. They need even more courage. I mean, I'm just spreading the seed. But that's seriously pessimistic. That's a negative, difficult situation. Would you be the one to hang out with that guy? Any takers? I didn't expect any hands to go up on that question. That's our assignment. When someone's hard-hearted and pessimistic, you got to have some courage. This is our calling. I heard this week from Rick Warren, not everyone has been shaped when they receive Christ and they became a follower of Christ into being a pastor, but all of us are ministers. All of us have a ministry, everyone here. It is not the pastor's ministry to reach this 22-year-old guy writing letters like that. That's a super negative attitude, blaming all the thugs and druggies that our church goes to. And I sit back and I sit there and say, happy are those who are persecuted, for they do what's right. Can I truly? You know, I read this letter and literally within an hour, I was smiling. Maybe a little pride there, I don't know. But I like the fact that we have some smokers and potheads that come to church. Not because I want to score weed or anything. I'm just saying I like the fact that they come here. I like the fact that we have people that look a little different. I like the fact that everyone that comes here is faced with a question. Am I going to stay who I am, or am I going to let God do something in my life? I like that because those who are, they're the same people that Jesus Christ died for. Those are the family members I want to have. I'm in that family. I'm one of those guys. And the church is for people who are hurting. And they want to admit it. And this guy is hurting. And he just admitted it in a very ugly way. And if this dude got alongside somebody who has an authentic relationship with Christ, a genuine follower of Christ, like I know many of you are, he would be writing a different story. And I can't wait for the next email to come in. There's a kid on this trip, and I almost put his picture in here, who literally a year ago, my wife was substitute teaching for, and now he's in camp. But a year ago, he cussed her out, and she kicked him out of the classroom. And yesterday, he was holding a suitcase and with a huddle group going to hear about Jesus and play his favorite sport of basketball. Less than a year later, okay? My wife was freaking out in tears. She responded going, I can't believe that this young man is in this mix and was in that van. This is the type of person we need courage to talk to. It's hard. And that courage doesn't come from this once a week little pep rally from Pastor Andrew. This courage comes from God's power. Acts 1:8. The very last words of Jesus before he ascended into heaven, and these are always huge when someone's got their last words. when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you'll receive power. Underline, receive power. And tell people about me everywhere, as far as you can, to the ends of the earth. I've been to this church for coming up on 9 years. Imagine if today were my last Sunday and I said to you, I've got one more thing I want you to hear, because I'm taking a boat at 2 o'clock and I'm done. And whatever it is, that would probably be the most important thing I'd ever say, right? That's what Jesus did here. These were his last words. People were listening. You'll receive power. You'll tell people about me everywhere. I want you to do this. That courage doesn't come from yourself. It comes from God's power. I was reminded of this when Rick Warren was talking to us this week in this conference. Jesus' last words were precious. They were powerful. And as a result, that church has gone into like 192 countries. They literally have taken it seriously. Really cool stories came out of that. 1 Peter 4 says this. Are you called to help others? Well, do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Don't fall asleep here. This is a charge. This is a challenge. This is your coach, and you're about to walk out on the field, and it's his last speech before the game starts. Then God will be given glory in everything through Jesus Christ. That's where the glory belongs. All glory and power belong to him forever. Basically, it's this. You do the possible. Write out your story. Be willing to share it with others. You do the possible. You do the ministry. Then you have faith that God will do the impossible. He will take it deeper than it ever needed to go in someone's life. He'll multiply it. And as a result, number four, ask God through faith to use your story. This young lady that was in the van, this teenager that had had so much drama in the last several months, and all the destruction at home, all the things she's witnessed, everything about it, she made the boat. She got in the van. When guys go to boot camp, and we're all excited about going to Wild at Heart boot camp, one of the most exciting things, and ladies get all excited to attend a retreat together, even some just on the couple of coves up in Campus by the Sea here. There is a lot of excitement right up until that happens, and then the enemy comes in just days, sometimes hours, and even minutes before getting on that boat. And all of a sudden, something derails that's of value, and that person never makes the boat. They never make it to the retreat. Work called and needed me. My family had this happen. You'll notice. All these things happen. Pray for those people. Don't just let them be. Throw them a lifeline. Put them in your golf cart. Take them to the boat. And Brenda yesterday, I'm so thankful for her as a parent, but also as a chaperone. And FCA is new for her. She paid for her own boat ticket and escorted them all the way across for me, where I was waiting with the van so I could pick them up and take them to camp. I had a wedding to do the night before. And as a result, I really needed help. And I said, Brenda, you have the hardest job. You know, I'll plug them into camp and I'll get them where they need to be. I know all those coaches out there. You got to get them on the boat. She said, send me the list of the kids so I can pray for them. It made the sermon today. Way to go, Brenda. Good call. Why? Because it was impossible for her to know these kids' names. She's been out of teaching for a long time. Some of them were like this, and now they're 10th, 11th grade. She doesn't know them that well. She knows who does. So she took those names and interceded for them. They all made the boat. We give credit to God. Well done, Brenda. Well done. Way to listen. Way to follow directions. Just use your story. It breaks my heart that some of us in here are committed believers. Week after week, we come and we get fed. We celebrate in the presence of others and we go back to our world and we keep this God thing a secret. I hate it. The challenge here in total healing is to share. These concentric circles of hearing the good news, being around the good news, listening and receiving the good news, learning what is the good news, and then turning around and sharing the good news is the way this whole thing is set up. You move forward in your relationship with God. You grow in his presence. and you give it away. You move through the church, as we learned this week. You don't just attend the church and come to the church. You move through it. We've had a lot of different worship team members over the years. John has poured his life into these people, and he knows as well as anybody, you can't take this personally, that they move through the church. They move through. We don't keep them very long. It's hard, especially in an island, very transitional life going on. You can't get personal and connect with it. God is in control of someone's life. And as you move through and you share the good news, you don't know where it's going to go. Brenda has no idea what's going to happen to those kids this week. Her job was to pray for those kids and get them to the boat. Be faithful in these areas. We got two other services that have a lot more empty chairs and empty seats and empty pews. And we have a Spanish service in the evenings. There's room for people who need to hear the good news. Amen? I should hear it. Amen? Amen. They reject it. They may reject it. And your friend may turn around and say, I attended the service. I'm never going to that church again. That guy's a lunatic and the music sucked. But thanks for inviting me. It may fail. Guess what? They may persecute you. We find they usually don't. They usually come and go, I didn't know church could be like that. I didn't know you could laugh. I actually had no idea that guys could play like that. And I love piano. I didn't know you had anything like that. I imagined it was way different because they haven't been in 30 years and whatever they went to scared them to death. And they come here and they're like, wow, I'm honest with you. I didn't know it was like that. And you should have invited me earlier. I'll be here next week. Child care workers are cycled through so often. We need them. And they see kids, and they see kids come and go. And we have a group that's stuck over the years. They love children. They love what's happening down there. There's always needs. There's always room for more help. But I love our crew. I love what they do. And I've watched them for years because my kids were in the program. And their hearts are sold out that whether the kid's here this week and gone for 3 weeks, we're going to love on them as if they're our family and they're here every single day. We're not going to let up. And their energy is just relentless. And they go after these kids. What's happening up here is also happening down there. And Matt's got a bunch of teen center guys. Most of them are guys. And they're young, 5th, 6th, 7th grade. He's busting it down low. And that crew's gone from 1 to 3 to 5 to 25. Consistent numbers. There's a family foreman. He's relentless in going after him. He's such a quirky guy. I love him. And it fits. It fits connecting with this group. He's just doing what he can do. And we're just doing what God's called us to do. And you're here and you're learning. And God is calling you to do what you can do. And leave the rest up to him. I wish somebody invited me earlier. Does not need to be said to you. Let it happen. Take time to write your story. Be willing to share it. Display it. And ask God in faith to use your story. James 2 says, it isn't just enough to have faith. Faith that doesn't show itself by good deeds is no faith at all. It's dead. Jesus said in Matthew 5, you're here, okay? You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in this world. God's not a secret to be kept. We're going to go public with this, as public as a city on a hill. Closing question. What do you go public with in your life? Everybody goes public. The guys from the yacht clubs, they got the yacht club attire, and it says what yacht club they're with. They're going public. They're in the tuna club. Our athletes wear their Avalon jacket. They're going public. I'm a football player. I'm a coach. Some of you guys work at a certain restaurant. You just love the fact that, you know, you wear this attire, or I've been wiki-whacked, and, you know, everybody's going public. So Facebook, official, right? Got to go public with this. Some of us, we have Avalon Fire. There's a lot of Avalon Fire t-shirts going public. I'm part of this crew. This is who I roll with. We got tattoos that say, this is what I'm about. This is who I am. Ask me about my thing here and what's happening. Some of us go public with our lives, but have you ever seen what God can do when you go public with his life? What his life can do? has done in your life. And my prayer is that 25% of you will say, I'm going to go public. It's a large crowd. Last couple of days, we knew that God was bringing a lot of people to the island, no doubt about it. Our services are going to be up this time of the year. What if just a handful of you took this seriously? I'm going to share the good news about Christ with others. We want you to write your story. It's going to take a little bit of time, but sit back and maybe you just highlight these big things that God's done and what you've been through. And a friendship evangelism challenge is going out there today to say, I want to go public with the truth that God heals. If our worship team can come down. God's not going to waste your pain. He's going to use it. This is the first Sunday of the month. And back here in this corner and right over here in this corner, we've set up a sweet little communion fellowship for you. But believe it or not, it starts right where you're sitting. I ask that you do this one thing. I ask you, you don't waste this time. This is you and God. It's allowing you to have fellowship with Him and come to the table. Release those things that have gotten in the way. Believers that can have communion this morning, that follow Him, can truly understand what God wants to do at the table. Communion is reserved for those that have a relationship with Him. And it's also reserved for those of you who sit back and say, God, do something real in my life. Become real so that I turn around and see what you have done and I give it away to someone else. Become who you want to be. Take over. I get out of the way. I'm going to flow with you. I admit this. I look under the hood and see this. I'm softening my heart to you. I literally know that I'm going to embrace your way. It's not my way. And then last but not least, I'm going to share you. There's much to have communion about this morning. And when you're ready, you hop up and you grab the elements and you have that moment with Him publicly saying, I have done this with my Savior. But spend time with Him privately before you do. Let's pray. God, thanks for today. For the many people that are here and have been all morning in the service tonight. There's some that will go public with what you've done in their lives. Thanks. Thanks for calling them out. For those that need to be reminded, once you were blind, now you can see. Keep it simple. Thanks that you love us. And for those in here that are still seeking and checking this whole God thing out, would you reveal yourself to them in a real and genuine way? Become God in their life. Consume them. And for those in here that are fearful of being persecuted, might they realize that the power comes from you and that we're called to do the possible. You'll take care of the rest. You'll take care of the impossible. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.